Limits tell me how many calls we have on what should be the biggest topic in town.
Well, it sure ain't lighting up like a Christmas tree, I'll tell you that.
Not lighting up like Malzy in a craft beer house.
No.
All right.
Or Pony at a Syracuse game.
Tell you this. That tells me something that may be good for Mike Sullivan, but bad for the Penguins long term. I actually think that leads into another topic. And you may say that I did such a poor job of putting that topic into perspective. You may say it's a non-topic that nobody cares. I would say the nobody cares part really stands out with Mike Sullivan. I would say again that in any other situation in pro sports, this game tonight would carry significant meaning because we'd be wondering if the coach would be fired. Pretty accomplished coach, too. But in this situation, in this town, I think the question is always relevant. Is this a Penguin town or is it simply an event town? An event town and a winner's town? Those would be my questions. We've seen attendance already slip. What would it be like? I mean, the darkness is coming here. We have a light bulb change happening real time. Can we get the camera on this? This is unbelievable.
Yeah, what's going on here?
Vic has entered the building with a ladder.
There's Vic right there on the screen.
Call me crazy. I would have said maybe a break in the show would have been the ideal time to change a light bulb. But
I saw you starting to get very concerned, Joe, and then I got
damn
concerned.
Damn it, Vic's going to do it live on the air here. Let's
we'll do it live.
It's an emergency, he says.
Well, let's see if we can change the shots.
If you're reading right now, there's a shot of his crotch on 93.7 The Fan. That's all we see. This is live radio at its finest limits right now.
And he's got the bulb in his hand.
There he is. The bulb has been removed. Vic has the bulb. He's going over to the trash can. This is unbelievable, Limits. I've never seen the likes of it.
Now, there he goes out the door to retrieve the new bulb.
The new
bulb. We have to see what his 40-yard dash time might be to get the bulb, come back, replace the bulb.
The new bulb will be arriving shortly. Anyway, to make a long story longer, are people giving way less of a crap about the Penguins, and what form does that take when the darkness really hits? That's what I wonder about with this franchise. I really do. If I were a Penguin fan, and there's many of them, this story would be hot right now, beyond hot. This would be the story. They're 3-7-1. They're on a 6-game losing streak. Are they going to move on from a Stanley Cup winning coach or not? And yet I just don't think that it's a talking point. I think the worst thing that could ever set in with a franchise perhaps is setting in here. And that's the A word, Limits. You know what word I'm talking about? Apathy. Apathy. Which might actually be the best thing for Mike Sullivan is that, okay, if it's actually true that not many people really care what happens with the Penguins at the moment, that they're just in it for sort of the nostalgia at this point, and who the coach is has no effect on that anyway, well, that's great for him.
You know why I kind of think that people aren't talking about Mike Sullivan more now than they really should is because the Steelers are 6-2 and seem like they have a quarterback. Pitt's undefeated for the first time since 82 at 7-0. Penn State's undefeated and is playing Ohio State this weekend. The World Series just went on. The Penguins are the fifth biggest story in town right now. I mean, in all reality,
I agree with
I would
that.
Say behind
I
the World Series.
That, except for the fact that they're on a 6-game losing streak, and in any other market, in any other sport, in all of sports, this would be a game you'd be looking at saying, if they lose, is the coach going to be here tomorrow?
Should be.
Call me crazy. I think that's kind of a big story. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not a big
Vic
story.
Vic has returned.
Vic has returned with
new
the light
bulb.
Watch us on YouTube. This is Vic, I'm a little bit concerned about you up on the ladder. You, Limits, I'm a little bit concerned about this.
Yes.
He's up on a ladder with no spotter. You're not supposed to do that. An unbelievable job of twisting in the light bulb. He's risking burns to his hand, and he's done it. And it's very bright, I might add, the new light, Limits.
Yeah, that is very bright.
Yeah.
They want that shining on Chris Oak, I guess.
Let's give Vic a hand as he goes out of the
building. Great job, Vic.
Wonderful job. Unbelievable job by Vic. And it was very painless even during the show. He kept it quiet. I appreciate that. Let's go to the couple of callers we do have on whether the Penguins coach should and will get fired.
Well, let's start with Dave in North Huntington.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Sully should have been fired at minimum 2 years ago, if not 3 years ago.
See, that's where I'll jump in early on you, and then I'll let you finish with whatever you want. I actually think if you say 2 years ago, that would have been after what I think was a pretty good team, honestly, that was undone by goaltending misfortunes that were not of Sully's doing. But that's neither here nor there. You and I clearly agree that the last two seasons have been fairly disastrous, and this is even worse, right?
Right. And, you know, to me, one of his biggest sins, he never changes his game plan, his plans, whatever. A good coach adjusts his plans for the talent he has. He refuses to do it. He refuses to protect Sidney Crosby and Malkin. It drives you nuts. I know you don't want goons and all that, but you need to have some kind of protection for Sidney Crosby, too, at the same time.
And that's why we did a blessing for Jack St. Ivany yesterday. The Saint.
Yesterday was fantastic. I was so glad to hear you do that, Joe. It was seriously, like,
yeah.
Someone needs to finally step up.
Yes.
And you're right. It is becoming apathetic when it comes to the Penguins because it's the same story over and over. I thought Fenway Sports Group was supposed to be, you know, this big conglomerate, lots of money, care about winning, everything else. They should fire Dubas and Sullivan, as far as I'm concerned, just for giving Jari the freaking contract they gave him last year.
Yes. Thank you for the call. There's a lot there. And that sort of leads into the topic of something we touched on yesterday. It's like, I was trying to think of what the best analogy is here. Oh, limitless wonder. It's like winding up in a place you didn't intend to be, but you realize it's the right place for you. So why not just stay? I went to Wilmington, North Carolina when I was, 20 with my friend Marshall Reinhardt, the same family that had Almond Joys every Halloween.
Wow, I know a Reinhardt family too, actually.
So I drank for a week and then I decided I'm going to live in Wilmington, North Carolina. It's sort of like that. Now, I wasn't thinking all that clearly, but let's say I had gone there and got the feeling, you know what? I don't know how I got here, but this is awesome. This is the right place. I think I'll just stay. That's the Penguins arriving at the bottom of the NHL. It's not awesome. Nobody would say that, but it might very well be the right place, and they might have gotten there earlier than intended, but they're there. Why not stay? This is the place to be. You have your talk with Sidney Crosby. Is this something you'd be willing to wade through with us or not? If not, obviously we understand, and you'll go wherever you want to go. You'll do whatever you want to do. We were going to get here anyway. You know that. We know that. And we're here. We've arrived. Look around, everybody. I don't see any Tampa Bay Lightning around here. I don't see any name a good team around here. We're in a room with the San Jose Sharks. There's nobody else here. The Sharks are here. Didn't intend to be here, but we've arrived. Why not stay? The worst place you can be is the mushy middle in pro sports. It's the worst. And the Penguins have been living there now for a significant amount of time. Great that they swung for the fences on somebody like Erik Karlsson. Fine. Try to win. I thought they actually put together what should be a decent roster. If the players on it would play to their pedigree and their paychecks, I think it would be a decent roster. But it's clearly something is radically wrong here. The bottom's where you go. And there's no better example of that. I want everybody to hear this very clearly, Limits, including you. Pull up a chair by the fireplace.
I got my blanket with me, too.
Yeah. Would you like something to drink? Perhaps some apple cider?
How about some hot cocoa?
Hot cocoa with marshmallows. Here you go. There you go. There's a nice cup.
Thank you.
And take a listen to Grandpa Joe, which I will be in about 3 weeks, by the way.
Yes, congratulations again in advance.
Thank you. There is no better example of how sinking to the bottom can save your franchise in all of sports history than the Pittsburgh Penguins. None better. Unless it's the other team in town, the Pittsburgh Steelers, because their 1970s dynasty was born of sucking for all those years. How do you think Terry Bradshaw got here? How do you think Franco got here? The Penguins, though, are the best example. Mario and Sid, that's all I have to say. The franchise would have been gone, you know, decades ago, if not for those two guys, and they were both born of sucking, of losing, of sinking to the bottom of the league. There's franchises all over the place in every sport that live in the middle, and it's nowhere to be. You got to get to the bottom. By accident, the Penguins have gotten there faster than expected. Welcome aboard. It's Gilligan's Island. Have you ever seen that show, Limits?
I actually have seen a couple episodes, yes.
It got very frustrating. I'd watch it as a kid, and they had all these plans hatched to leave the island, and you knew they wouldn't anytime soon.
Did they ever leave the island at the end?
They might have, yeah. Went on to some poor lives on the mainland, I might add.
It was better on the island.
But yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about here with the Penguins. Plus, to extend the Penguins analogy here, they're concocting all these plans, and from appearances, they still might to try to leave Gilligan's Island. Yeah, this time we're going to build a little vessel and have Erik Karlsson, you know, row us to the mainland.
Erik Karlsson went from the bad Sharks to the bad Penguins. What could he possibly be thinking?
He really did. Our next big plan, we're going to re-sign Ryan Graves to a $100 million contract and give him an ownership stake. No, this is Gilligan's Island all over again. Stop the plan hatching now. You're here. The three-hour tour went awry. You're on Gilligan's Island. Stay. Make the best of it. It wasn't all bad, right? Remember the professor, how smart he was? Remember Ginger and Marianne and the professor and who else?
That's all the characters I know.
What was the rich guy's name? Can you look up the cast of Gilligan's Island as I attempt to extend this analogy? But it really is true. It really is true. You've arrived in this place that you need to be, that maybe you didn't even realize you need to be. Why not stay? The very first thing you'd have to do is talk to Sid. And then after that, you go full EJ, full Eddie Johnston. Who's your best goalie so far? Blomqvist, although it's been a little bit rough at times lately. So yeah, send him to the minors. Get somebody horrible in here. Which is to say, promote Jari. Or someone even worse, if that's possible. Start trading away good players by any means necessary. Don't care what you get back for them. Don't care. Trade them away. Give them away. Stay at the bottom. It's a plan, at least. I might give this a couple more games, couple more weeks, whatever. Maybe. But man, all I'm saying is I'd be very, very tempted to stay on Gilligan's Island. Next.
Let's go to Tim in the North Hills.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. It's on the topic of, why people might not be as interested in this. It's really interesting for me. I'm 31 years old, so I grew up with all these recent Stanley Cups and everything. And I will attend games every once in a while. I'll root for them passively, but I'm just not a big hockey fan. But a lot of my friends, growing up, they're like, oh, we love the Penguins.
You're a casual fan. You're a casual fan who got sucked into the winning, and you're very liable to leave pretty soon if it's this bad. Do I have that right?
I would say even a little less than passive. And that's just me from a hockey perspective. Yeah. I just never loved the sport. But my friends, I would describe them as that, except for, you know, they were more passionate about it. But I mean, it's this weird phenomenon where I'd say even a little longer than 3 years ago, you know, they just sort of started like, oh, we only pay attention during the playoffs now. You know, and then it became, you know, we only pay attention if they make the playoffs. And it's so weird because even compared to the Pirates, who, you know, as you can imagine, that's a very easy team to not pay attention to.
Yes.
It seems like all of my friends that are fans of the Penguins, they've just sort of, like, it was easy for them to drop the team. Whereas with my friends that are Pirate fans, you know, they're all Steeler fans. Like, they tune in no matter what.
Well, that's interesting because I wonder about that. Those are really interesting observations there. I'm not saying this is true. I just wonder if the Pirates, because they've been around for so long, are more ingrained, you know, in passing down from generation to generation. Whether, I don't know how much the state of things for a long time now has done to ruin that, but I still wonder if they're more ingrained than the Penguins. I at least wonder that, and that speaks to that point. Did you know Jerry Van Dyke was going to be Gilligan?
No.
That's unbelievable. He turned down the role, and it went to Bob Denver. There's never been a character, a television character, more suited to his role than Bob Denver as Gilligan. But it could have been Jerry Van Dyke. I can't believe this.
And the texters are saying you were thinking about the Howls.
Yeah, Mr. Howell. Thurston B. Howell. Yeah.
And also that in the series, they never left the island, but in the movie, they did, and they couldn't assimilate themselves in society, according to this texter.
Yeah, that's what I did remember. In the series, did they resolve to the fact that maybe the island was good for them? Were they happy with the island? I can't remember the last episode.
They liked their own island of misfit toys that they had. It was nice.
Maybe so.
What would you do with your own island?
Build a wiffle ball stadium for starters, patterned on old Forbes Field. You?
That would definitely be one of the top things that I would do.
Hokie, if you had a place called Hokie Island, first of all, would you like your own island? Secondly, how would you use it?
Oh, man, I would use it for vacation just to get away.
Yeah.
And disconnect from the world.
Yes.
Hokie Island would be great, right? Just my family could go, right? Just to be a family and be away.
What would yours be called? Limits Island?
It'd be called the Bechtold Resort.
The Twin Cities? Mine would be, what would mine be called? Raymond's Resort? My middle name's Raymond. You could come there, Hokie. We'd have unbelievable weekends together. We'd bring limits. We'd play pickleball.
Field?
Have you played pickleball yet?
I have. I'm not very good at it. But
I like it. Do you?
It's good exercise. Yeah. It's good exercise, good footwork. And I'll tell you, just understanding all the rules. You can't go into the what do you call it, the cooker or whatever you call it. What's that area you can't go in next to the net?
It's called the cooker?
What's it called?
What's it called?
I don't know what it's called.
You can't go into the...
We didn't get into the graphic details. I just played a couple of games of
it. You can't... Like, I like to play... We can get her up in the net and you can start slamming the ball, but you stay out of that.
Here's what I can't
figure
out.
What's that area? It's that area that's like, you can't go in there and hit the ball, right?
It's
and
then I always forget. It's the neutral zone, like when you were a nose tackle.
Like when you serve, when the ball comes back, you got to let it bounce first.
Yeah.
And I always forget to let it bounce first.
I always want to hit it at the other person. That seems to me to be the... Oh, my God. Hokie, something happened the other night.
What happened?
My stepson, Michael, texted me because I used to have Josh Miller on this show.
Yeah.
I said to Josh, he was obviously a punter. I said, Josh, why doesn't anybody ever do an onside kick? These were with the old rules.
Yeah.
You guys are so skilled and the players are so fairly close to you where you blast a line drive off the tee right at somebody. Like dodgeball. They couldn't get out of the way of it. And then Michael texts me, I think 2 weeks ago from a college game. And now I need to find this. I never found it. He said, somebody just did what you've been talking about. All
you saw it?
I saw it.
I don't remember what game it was.
What happened? Tell me what happened.
Somebody blasted it off the player and they recovered the kick.
Okay, this was a stroke of genius that nobody gave me credit for.
You should be a coach. You should be a coach, Starkey.
I can't believe somebody finally did it. It's a good idea, though, isn't it?
It is a good idea. I mean, if it's a surprise onside, I think if everybody's ready and they're waiting for the ball, I think it's different. But if you do a surprise onside and just nail it right, I think you have a chance there. You might be in business.
You got to show me the video of this.
I'll try to find it.
It's an extreme aside. I realize that, and I apologize for that. What I don't apologize for is Chris Hoke. He's here for the next hour.